My name is Paul York, and with me is Peter Basado. And we do support work with the Toronto Mining Support Group, which is a volunteer group in Toronto to assist activists when they come from around the world to fight mining, open pit industrial mining. Open pit industrial mining causes human rights violations, and it also destroys ecosystems and uses up millions of liters of fresh water that is needed for farmers. And so we help these activists, these community representatives from different parts around the world, to when they come to Toronto, because many of them come here because Canada is home to 60% of the mining companies in the world. And the reason for that is because Canada has laws which are in favor of the mining companies. So if you're from, say, Guatemala, and you want to protest what a Canadian mining company is doing to your land, destroying your way of life and your family and everything, you can't do that. You can't go to a court in Canada and do anything about it because the law here is on the side of the mining company. So they come here to the annual general meetings of the mining corporations, like Barrick Gold or Goldcorp, to protest, to stand in front of the shareholders and say what's happening to their communities, because the mining companies tell the shareholders, the investors, that everything is fine. And they come to tell a different story, that everything is not fine, that many times they're being murdered, women are being raped by the mining company, that their land is being destroyed, you know, all of these things that are happening. So we act as a support group for, and we work with the activists in Montreal that are doing the same thing, called FAO, and I can't remember what that stands for, but it's a
Mexican.
It's the Mexican Canadian group. Anyway, the uranium mining issue in Ontario and around the world. I'll just try to sum that up for you. The price of uranium has gone up recently because, ironically, because of global warming. So you have around the world, everybody's concerned about global warming. A lot of the governments think the solution is nuclear energy. It's not nuclear energy. That's a very bad solution because it destroys the environment. and it produces radioactive material that will stay, waste that will stay in the on the land and poisoning people and ecosystems for tens of thousands of years. But in any case, and it also it's very expensive and it's very unsafe. So there's all these arguments against nuclear. But what's happened is because the governments are, a lot of them are going with nuclear energy, including Ontario, the price of uranium has gone up. And when now there's a lot more mining in uranium or interest in drilling for uranium. So the biggest place in Canada where this happens is Saskatchewan, Cigar Lake, and around there. Those are among the biggest uranium pits in the world, and a lot of the indigenous groups that live near those pits are suffering from cancer and uranium in the water. It's very bad. In Ontario, there's a place called Elliott Lake. That is in northern Ontario. They had uranium mining in the 50s and 60s, and again, the indigenous people who live there, which is the, I forget the name of the First Nation, but it was Lorraine Reichmans is from there. The indigenous people, they suffered high cancer rates, and many of them died of cancer as a result of that mine. Now, the McGuinty government in Ontario wants to allow uranium mining to occur at the Robertsville mine. There's been a big fight among people who live in northeastern Ontario, about an hour's north drive north of Kingston, near Charbette Lake. And This fight involves a community group of white people. They call themselves settlers. It's people in the area. Canadian, it's CAMU, which is the Canadian Coalition Against Mining Uranium. And it also involves the Ardoc Algonquin First Nation and also the Shabbat First Nation. So two First Nations and one volunteer group of white people who live in the area. Now, and they've all come together to oppose the uranium mining near Charbet Lake at the Robertsville mine. Now, what happened is that, and many of your listeners will know this already, is that there was a big fight over between this community, these communities, and the Ontario government over this mine. And as a result of which, one of the former chiefs of the Ardoc Algonquin, Robert Lovelace, he opposed the court injunction that says you couldn't that said there's no protesting, peaceful protesting in front of the mine site. And because he opposed that, they said we're going to send you to jail for 6 months. They shortly thereafter, they also the government also was supportive of the indigenous people from the KI Nation near the Manitoba-Ontario border when they opposed platinum mining on their land. And in all these cases, you have a situation where indigenous peoples have traditionally owned the land since they've been there, tens of thousands of years, and in the case of the Ardoc Algonquin, they've never ceded the land. They've never given it up. They've never signed a treaty to the government saying you can have the land. So this is their land claim. The government is not honoring it. And in the case of the KI, it was not honoring it, the treaty that had been signed. And so what the government was basically saying to the mining companies, okay, Ontario is open for business, you can come in. And the mining companies were hesitant to come in as long as indigenous groups were opposing them. So by the Ontario government was sent through its court system was sending a message to the mining corporations, we're going to put the indigenous leaders in jail so you can, you know, to pave the way for you to come in and do business. And in fact, we had a protest at Queen's Park several months ago before all the big, before it got big. And the protest was because there had something called Mining Day at Queen's Park where they actually introduced the mining corporations and had a big party for them. And I remember that day well because it seemed so outrageous and so wrong that they would allow mining to come into Ontario in such a big way, and yet disrespect the indigenous people, disrespect the people who are living in the area who have to drink the water, and disrespect the land, the Mother Earth, and so. So that's why we got involved, because we felt that that was wrong and frankly evil. It was evil what the government was doing.
How was the protest?
Our protest wasn't very big, but we had maybe 30 people. But then later on, as more and more people learned that the indigenous leaders were jailed, the movement grew, and it became very big, and we. On the International Day of Action on Indigenous Rights and in Canada, which was the 29th of last month, May 29th, we had a big protest with all the groups involved that have been working on this, and there are hundreds of groups working on it now, on this uranium mining and an issue, and we had a protest. The unions joined it, and there had to be at least 3,000 people there. So it was very big, and there's a lot of support from all over Ontario. And the government was embarrassed by this, and they let them out of jail around the same time, about the day before, I think. They were embarrassed by because it had got into the media. The mining issue had not really been in the media in Ontario or until the indigenous leaders were arrested. So what it showed us is that when people are willing to make a personal sacrifice, like Donna Dillman, who went on a hunger strike, or Robert Lovelace, who went to jail, and people see the example of the personal sacrifice, then people, more and more people, are inspired to get involved to oppose this. So right now, what's going on at the Robertsville mine is since this has happened, the government believes that they can still get away with having the uranium mine, and so they've allowed the prospectors to move in a truck with a drill that has a diamond bit on it, and they did that about 3 days after the last protest, and now the people, at least, you know, the Ardagh Algonquin and Camu and the others, at least have the right to protest without being sent to jail. They won that right. That's what they've won so far. So they're planning a big protest, I believe, for the 28th of this month of June. That'll be, you might want to go to that. It's I can send you the details by email. So they're having a big protest on the 28th at the Robertsville site against the uranium mine. I should tell you why, just very quickly, why uranium mining is wrong, why it's morally wrong, and why it's environmentally wrong. When you drill for uranium, it releases radon, which is a gas, which is poisonous. So the miners, they're saying, oh, it doesn't do anything to mine, it doesn't cause any damage, but in fact it does. Right from the beginning of the uranium life cycle, that is when it's the drilling begins, it causes environmental problems. Then if you actually do a uranium mining pit, you clear away forests, and there's clear cutting, and that's environmentally unsound. Then the uranium mine itself creates what are called tailing ponds. And the tailing ponds is when they grind up the ore to get the uranium or gold or what have you. and they use a tremendous amount of water to do this. And then the water, first of all, they're wasting the water, which shouldn't be used for this purpose. And they even do this in drought-filled areas of the world where people are dying for lack of water. So they contaminate the water with heavy metals and with radioactive substances, which are poisonous to all life forms. And the water gets into the groundwater. It leaches in. Even if you build a so-called safe tailing pond with linings and so on, and there are dozens of documented leaks or spills of tailing ponds all over the world at uranium mines. In high flood season, there will be a spill, and then you'll have a situation where the radioactive water is spilling into a waterway where people drink. This happens all the time. And it's on top of which, when there's a heavy wind, it blows radioactive gas off of the tailing pond into the surrounding area. So all the area around where a uranium mine occurs is poisonous to life. It kills everything. Now, so it's a vicious lie for the miners and the government to say that these mines are safe. They're not. They're not environmentally sound. They're not safe. They're deadly, and the mining industry doesn't know how to make it safe, and they never can make anything like that safe. It's fundamentally unsafe, and it will remain in that condition for tens of thousands of years. 17 to 26 generations of human beings will have to live, will inherit the tailing ponds, because radioactive substances, the half-life is that long. In some cases, it's a million years. So long after this civilization is gone, human beings and animals and plants will be bombarded by radioactivity, which destroys the flesh and destroys all life. So it causes cancer, and it just does unbelievable damage, especially to children that are in the womb that are being formed. So there's a condition, for example, called Navajo neuropathy that is brain damage that is caused to children in the Navajo area where they did a lot of uranium mining and several decades back, and a lot of the women drank the water, and their children are born. They have severe bodily and mental diseases that they, you know, they'll suffer from for life, and as a result of. So the whole argument that this is good for the community is a lie, because the jobs that the miners have is for maybe 20 years, while the life of the mine. But after the mine is gone, the miners get cancer, the people get cancer. The indigenous people can't hunt or trap the game anymore that they've lived on forever, because the animals are contaminated with radioactivity. And the entire ecosystem in that region is destroyed. So, and it's all for the short-term gain and profit of these miners. Beyond the mining, the life cycle of uranium beyond mining doesn't get any better. Once the uranium is out of the ground, it's used for nuclear energy in many cases, and it's also used depleted uranium, which is a uranium waste substance from nuclear. The nuclear energy process is used to tip bullets and missiles that are used in such places as Iraq. And there are many horrific pictures that you can find on the internet of children that are born with that are contaminated by depleted uranium, it's very well documented by the medical doctors that this is a result, a direct result of uranium and radioactivity in their bodies. Uranium is also used in not only in conventional weapons but also nuclear weapons. Canada claims that that the uranium that is mined in Saskatchewan is not used in nuclear weapons, but in fact we know for a fact that it is. That when a nuclear reactor is sold overseas, the CANDU reactors they're called, that many countries like Pakistan will take the uranium and they will turn it into nuclear weapons. So even though the Canadian government would deny this, the reality is that by doing uranium mining and having uranium industry in Canada, we are contributing to war, suffering, and hardship, and disease, and cancer all over the world. Places like Chernobyl, are an example. That was uranium that was taken out of the former Soviet Union. But the point is that we can have a Chernobyl here. The Ontario government is building nuclear reactors at Darlington, using $46 billion of dollars of taxpayer money to do it, and Toronto is within a 30-kilometer radius of that. And if there is a nuclear accident, this entire city would have to be evacuated. So it's just an incredibly dangerous substance to take out of the ground. Mining, open pit mining, is horrible to begin with. It destroys communities and it destroys ecosystems. But uranium is perhaps the most evil, because the effect will be around long after this civilization is gone, and continuing to poison people. So I think the people who are protesting the uranium mine up at Charvet Lake, they're not just protecting themselves, they're protecting many, many future generations. So we support their work, and that's why we organized the Citizens Inquiry Against Uranium Mining in Toronto. If you speak with the people from CAMU, they organized similar inquiries up in northeastern Ontario. And we're really especially supportive of the indigenous groups that have risking their safety to go against the police and the government by opposing these mines not only in Ontario but all over the world. We've met indigenous people all over the world who are opposing mines on their land, because they live off the land and they are they identify with the land. They regard the land as their mother, so it's very hurtful for them personally to see the land raped by the mining company and destroyed. So we we support their work and urge others to get involved in this as well. Yeah.
Do you know, can you tell us what is the condition of the mines in Charlotte Lake now? Like, how much the processes have begun?
Yes.
In Charlotte Lake, in the Robertsville mine, they haven't started the mine yet. They're in the process of drilling right now, and the people are opposed to the drilling, and they're protesting it, and they're organizing a protest right now as we speak. So, at Charlotte Lake, the mining hasn't started, but the reason why, of course, people are involved in this is because they want to prevent it, because they've seen what's happened with other uranium mines around the world and also at Elliott Lake close to home. So we're in this is a very good time to get involved in opposing that mine and also supporting the right of communities to say no to mining in Ontario and in Canada.
How a protest against uranium mining can be useful, not only useful, but can stop the mining. It is possible?
It is, yeah. In this case, with the Charlotte Lake protest, it's very possible to stop the mine because there is a huge grassroots movement against it. And as I stated before, the reason why there's such good support is because people were willing to make personal sacrifices, and as a result, there were a good movement got off the ground. And also another reason why there's a good grassroots movement is because involving, you know, thousands and thousands of people in northeastern Ontario and now in Toronto, and also Ottawa, is because the reason why it's so strong is because the white communities and the Indigenous communities have come together and they're working together. And I think that's very powerful as well. We've also seen that 19 municipalities have taken the side of the people and said that they don't want uranium mining. And that was a direct result of one man, John Kittle, who went around to all of the different city halls and the different municipalities, including Ottawa and Peterborough, and he gave a presentation to the councillors on the dangers of uranium mining and what it could do to the water table. And as a result of that, those municipalities voted against it. So we're in a very strong position to win this particular fight.
Do you think there's other things that we can do than protesting?
Well, there's many tactics that people can employ. There's the phrase, a diversity of tactics. So whatever tactic or strategy that you feel comfortable with, whether it's a street protest, nonviolent civil disobedience, or whether it's writing letters or, going to community meetings or whatever, I think it's important to do the thing that you feel comfortable with. One of the things that we've been doing is showing films on mining at the University of Toronto. And that's in getting people involved through education, but there's many things that you can do a variety of things. I think the main thing is to get involved in activism in some way or shape or form, and it doesn't have to be even the mining issue. It can be, any issue that involves social or environmental justice. It's important to get involved and become active, and to express concern for, and I don't mean just try to do liberal reforms. I mean really try to oppose injustice where it happens, because I think a lot of times people get involved in activism and it's kind of like a charity. I don't mean that. I mean more solidarity work with people who are on the front lines and doing this work, like the Ardagh Algonquin or the Camus, people who are involved in this. So we have to be, I think, working in solidarity with these people. And one of the tips I would have is, if there is a movement like this, It's good to talk with those people who were already involved and find out what they think is needed, because sometimes all they need is a little bit of extra support in one area or another. So instead of, you know, just starting out on your own, just talk to them and find out and get involved in the movement through in that way, you know.
And do you think they will be, they will continue to oppose the uranium mining in general, or they will negotiate with the company, Frontline Ventures?
Well, my understanding is that the groups that are opposing Frontenac Ventures are not interested in negotiating with them at all, and that's why they were prepared to go to jail, because they were saying we don't want mining on this land or even drilling at all. Period. So they took a very hardline stance against mining. Now there are some communities, including many indigenous communities, that are willing to negotiate with the mines, and that's their right. But I think my understanding is that these communities didn't want to allow drilling at all on their land, and so that's why they took that stance. When a community does negotiate with the mining company and does cut a deal, that's a very, you know, that's something that I would be hesitant to comment on. All I can tell you is that we support the groups that are saying no, and we respect what they're doing, because they, I think sometimes communities feel that they don't have any choice. Maybe that's what's, I can't answer for them, but in the case of the Charbot Lake mine, everybody that is involved has said no to mining.
I was wondering, maybe we could present your friend, associate.
Yeah, Peter, why don't you say a few words?
Sure. Well, all that I could add, and that for the regards to Charbot Lake, is also the settlers there are really opposed because of the fact that their real estate values would be coming down significantly, would be affected by this whole proposed mine, uranium mine in that area. So they got a very strong support from the settlers community, and with all you know, with the municipalities, because of that reason as well, in that special case, and that has gotten a lot of attention. So it's great, you know, and this will carry on across Ontario. We have about 6,000 mines in Ontario alone, active and non-active mines right now. So we, you know, there's a lot of damage already done in the province.
It's going to get worse too. See, mining is getting bigger all over the world. There's more gold mining and more uranium mining than ever before, and that's because the price of minerals is going up for both gold and uranium in those two cases, and other minerals as well. And there's another really important reason for people to be involved. If you care about the environment at all, you would be familiar with the problem of lack of fresh water. And there's a term, you can look it up on the internet, it's called water justice. And there's a lot of people that are fighting for water justice in this day and age. We have, there are threats to water from so many sources. Climate change, you know, which causes drought, and overuse of water in industrial agriculture, and now over in industrial civilization, and now in particular the overuse of water by the mining industry. And what's outrageous about their water use is that they will use millions and millions of liters of water a day at one of the bigger mines, and like 17 million liters a day at a typical Barrick gold mine in a drought area. And then they contaminate that water, and it just stays contaminated forever. They're doing that at in the tar sands too. They're destroying an area, a piece of land the size of Florida, and sucking the Athabasca River dry, and leaving tailings in its wake. So we all have a responsibility to protect the water. And also, as Canadians, we also have a responsibility to work in solidarity with people who are suffering from mining by Canadian corporations, and to oppose our government, which has taken such a strong stand in, on the side of these evil corporations. I think we have a moral responsibility, because we're Canadian citizens, to stop what our government is doing in our name. They say it's for our good and our wealth and our prosperity, but I don't want to be part of a system that rapes and pillages and exploits people and kills them just so I can, you know, buy a car or whatever, buy gold jewelry. We have to stop wearing gold jewelry too. That's important, you know. And we also have to oppose nuclear energy. We need windmills. We need solar panels. When you spend $46 billion on nuclear energy, you take away $46 billion that could be spent on renewable energy.